Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You Show. My name is Alisa.
My name's Liz. Hello, darling.
Morning.
Hi. You sound good.
Good. I listened to a few different, podcasts last night. And it's part of a summit, I didn't know if I'd have a chance to listen at all. And it had to do with ancestral healing.
Girl.
They had like five of them. So I didn't, I think I'm five or six. I only finished like four. It was a lot. And so they had these different guest speakers, and they lasted usually not more than an hour. A lot of them included different techniques or little meditations. So I was just doing them as they were doing them. And it was really, really neat. A little emotional, actually. I don't know. It was something that was interesting to me when I saw it in my email last week. And I usually sign up for these things and I don't ever listen to them because I think I don't have time at the time. But
right.
This one, because the replays are up for 48 hours. Of course, they want you to buy the stuff.
Of course.
You know, which,
all day.
Which, judging from what I've heard, it's probably worth it. So I did my meditations and, thanked my ancestors. And there was one, and I wrote it down. I liked it so much. I wrote down what was said. And it was something that this woman, her name is Francesca Mason Boring, she had done a little meditation and said, this is something you could say to your ancestors at the soul level. So in your mind, you're just, and the visualization was you're sitting in a chair and then your parents are behind you and then their parents are behind them.
Oh my God.
And then on and on and on and on until, you look back and you can't even count how many people are behind you. And then you say to them, and I wrote this down, and I thought it was so good. And she just said it like kind of off the top of her head. Because, when I look back to read it, to watch it again, she wasn't with her eyes closed. She was just saying it. And so it was basically, thank you. Thank you for my life. I honor any difficulty that you had. I honor any losses, and I see all the gifts. Please bless me if my life is easier than yours. Please bless me if I stop trying to carry your grief. And in exchange, I will live my life in joy, in honor of you. Thank you. Thank you for my life. Everything else, I leave with you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
I feel the spirit.
That was good stuff.
Love that. Well, it's all about the pattern interrupt and that it's an honest, honorable conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody has their role. Everybody's
right.
A torchbearer. Everybody has a torchbearer for something, and that it's not it's not a disgrace, because it could be looked at that like, first generation American, what are they doing? But that was the whole point. Why were you put in the situation to be born where you were born and to be raised in the way that you were raised? You and I could have been born in other countries quite easily, probably having a very poor command of the English language. And... Who knows what we would have accomplished or not have accomplished?
There's a part of me that knew, especially after visiting the Philippines for the first time and only time so far.
Right.
I knew after walking around my mother's hometown that I was supposed to be born in the States. And I know I mentioned the story. Because I was walking with my dad, and I was sort of joking. I said, I was meant to be born in the States because I do not feel that this is my place. like, it's beautiful. There are parts of it that are really beautiful. There are parts that are really frustrating.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of looks like me, but that's not where I was meant to be. This is not where I was meant to be.
Nope.
And so the joke that I have with him is that, you know, you see how I waited a couple of years after you came to the States. I want to make sure you weren't going to go, trying to renege on the deal and go home. I was supposed to come through a Filipino family, you know, of this type of, you know, this type of area, this type of situation.
Right.
And I was meant to be born in the States. And so I like I said, that was just one of many of the podcasts I listened to last night. There are a few that had something similar where you're facing your parents and then everyone behind them back a few generations. And that was interesting.
Powerful.
Just a meditation. So I did it in all these different ways, and it was just a way to work with your ancestors because they're here to help you.
Right.
And I really enjoyed it. So this is going to be day two. And I still have two other podcasts to listen to. And this is just an interesting perspective on how to help heal, you know, not only yourself, but also just the whole mind. Because, you know, and this is something that I knew and heard of before, was when you do work on yourself, you could also be healing your ancestral line.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't go just one direction.
Yeah.
It goes both ways.
Yeah.
And so to help with any sort of relationship, like, I think that's partly why the stuff I had to go through with my parents, mainly my mother, but also on a deeper level with my father, just to understand the dynamics behind it and to just figure, okay, well, I can't, you know, obviously I'm not going to change my mother. And I'm sure she's thinking, oh, I can't change my daughter, but we can work on ourselves and we can come to a greater understanding. But when we understand ourselves, it's not so much about anybody else trying to, you know, make me feel comfortable. It's being comfortable in my own skin. So I felt really good. And I had, I mean, I was in tears at some points just doing some of these meditations and feeling that feeling of connection, especially like with my grandparents, and then of course my great grandparents I never knew. But in one of the meditations, it was my great grandmother on my dad's side that came forward, and it was because I was asking about this whole itchy skin, the psoriasis type thing, because my dad has it too, and so I was asking about that in terms of how to heal that. And in the meditation, it was bringing up one of your ancestors, and one of them is going to come forward, you know, to, you know, like, that's how it started. I'm like, all right, well, so because I don't know much beyond my grandparents, and even that, it was really my grandmother's that I knew the best. I felt like it was on my dad's side because my dad is the one that has this as well. And so it was a great grandmother. And when I emailed my dad last night, he emailed me back this morning. He didn't even know his father's parents because they were not around when he was growing up. So he only knew his mother's grandparents. So it was my great grandmother Cornelia, I guess is how that. I'm assuming it came up that way. And what's interesting was the person that I felt behind me was my grandmother, which is my dad's mother. And that's, you know, like the grandmother who had a hand in raising all of us.
Uh-huh.
So that's my strongest connection. But I didn't think it was necessarily with her that this stuff was coming up. It was goes somewhere deeper. So it was her mother.
Wow.
And, yeah, and I don't, you know, I don't know enough about them. I know that she was like sort of like my grandmother, like she was just very favored, and everybody loved her, and everyone wanted, you know, all the grandkids wanted to be close to her, sort of like our grandmother, our Lola. So I think it was that same vibe. But I'm not sure the dynamics. I just, you know, was like, you know, what can we do to heal this, because this is. It's just something that I'm kind of done with having it. You know? So I want to know what
Amen.
Else to do.
Right. Yeah.
Because, and I look at my father who it, like it developed with him, and I don't know how many years he's had it, but I noticed he was talking about it, you know, within the last, say, 10 years, I guess. And I thought, well, that's interesting because, you know, then a few years later, I'm like, well, I think I'm getting some of this stuff too. So what's going on? And anyway, it was a fun and interesting evening to listen to these things and to have that connection. And also to know that I'm, you know, the plan right now is to go home to the Philippines for the reunion at the end of the year. Now, before that, there's a cruise that my dad is trying to figure out. So, you know, there's a big trip planned, and I think I knew it would be different coming back to the Philippines after so many years, and you know, having a rough go of it because it was so overwhelming, and everything was packed into 2 weeks, and there was barely time to, you know, recognize myself. So to do that, and maybe to be able to do some of this work that is calling to me in the interim, I think it's going to be interesting. And so last night in my dreams, I was sort of like saying, I'm going to be open to that. Like, okay, you know, I got all kinds of ancestors, you know, people who recently passed who sort of have you know, I opened that door and said, listen, you know, I'm open to this. You know, maybe this is one of the things I feel like I know I need to be doing. And, you know, I'm thinking about my brother who's estranged. I'm thinking about just the whole family dynamic. And then in the dream, there was a, I want to say it was a swan. You know, it was like a really big bird. It wasn't like an ostrich, but it was I was like, oh, maybe it's a goose. Maybe it's a swan. But it was a swan at the back door of the house where my parents live currently. Mm-hmm. And it's a glass, like window pane type door. And I just caught a glimpse of this swan and was sort of like, hey, I'm like, oh, and my mom was talking to me and I said, look at this swan. And she like the swan had already moved, like had moved away. So my mom didn't see it. But it's interesting. Every time I have dreams of my home, my parents' home, it's usually about, you know, looking at the backyard or being in the backyard. But
looking
here
back.
I'm looking at the back door. And there's a swan,
and
then
powerful.
In another part of a dream, there's a white, like little white, fluffy dog, that was just very playful. And this was now in my grandmother's house that I knew growing up when I would come to Atlanta. That was the house in a part of Atlanta that, you know, everybody grew up in. Everybody came over to the Philippines, well, from the Philippines, and, you know, they didn't have full families yet. Some of them didn't have their spouses over yet. So they all kind of stayed in one big house. And that was the house where I would spend my summers. And so in this house, it's multi-level or a split level. And there was this little white dog kind of running around. It was very playful, cute, and it was just in different parts of the house, and it was just a lot of fun. It was a nice dream. Those are the bits I remember, and I felt like, okay, this is a positive step. This is good.
Oh,
absolutely.
Good
for me.
And the swan. It's interesting because swans mate for life, traditionally, and it was. One swan is supposed to two, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Right, just the one.
Yeah, and that you saw it and your mother didn't quite catch the swan. So it's interesting because I feel like the swan and even the dog, that it is aspects of you. And the swan, it was independent. The swan wasn't, you know, tied down to another swan. For life, the swan was a non-traditional swan, so to speak, right? Had a little rainbow collar on, whatever. But But that's grace. It's pure. It's elegance. It's self-contained. And it didn't really, I don't think so. Tell me if I'm not getting it, but it doesn't seem like your mother was upset that she didn't catch the swan. It was enough that you said that you acknowledged the swan. Would that be
right.
fair to say? Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Do you see? So she didn't have to quite catch the swan or get the swan. It was enough. There was enough connection and love, unconditional love for you to accept that the swan was there and the swan had to go its own way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then just the spirit of the ancestral healing. The dog is sweet. You have nothing but childhood memories. This is a hub where families in transition or waiting to be fully formed, or it's like a safe house, really, a holding pattern. So, but that felt very free because it didn't feel rigid. It wasn't rigid. It was a place of freedom within within the culture, within the ancestry, that you found, like the dog was going to different parts of the dog wasn't confined. It wasn't like you had the dream and the dog was starving and tied to a tree and totally neglected.
Oh no, this
right?
little dog, it's a toy, like a little, and to kind of give you a little bit of background, on Sunday I went by the psychic fair. And one of the readers has these little fluffy white dogs, and so this one was like a little puppy, and it was cute, it was tiny, it was cute, but, you know, it was playful. So that was what this dog was like in my dream, this little puppy. But also in the dream, it was my aunt Zenny, who's my dad's youngest sister, is also a grandmother and just dotes on her only grandchild, this little boy who's just a big old ham. He's great. But it was that same, she was there. I want to say even he was there, Grayson. And it was, there's this, a whole joy. So there's this grandmother grandson connection. And then, so between him and then the little puppy dog running around, it was just a lot to like, a lot of cute, you know, it was a lot of cute.
That's sweet. Uh-huh.
It is. It was a really sweet dream. It was very, it was uplifting and it was cheerful, because, you know, these are cute little, you know, cute. They're just really cute little things, and the potential, you know, to see what they're going to grow into, given the environment that they're in, that they would continue to be very sweet, very loving. I felt, you know, it was a dream that when I woke up, I knew that I would only get parts of it, but I'm like, okay, that's cool. I really enjoy that kind of connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt really good.
So listening to the meditations, listening to the podcast, it sounds like you were poised to clear some things. And it's interesting because your voice sounds like it's just 100% back. Like the last show, you sounded good, but I could still, there was like a little bit of residual. So I think that's, I think it's all connected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, talk about needing to clear, you know, there was a lot of stuff happening there. So I'm happy. And I was thinking, okay, if they want to come through on the show today, that'd be awesome too.
Oh, hello. Hello. Pointing.
But right. Because I've sort of, you know, obviously like my uncle Roof and my cousin Sunny, that's on my mom's side of the family. They know because they've come through.
Yes, they have.
In different ways. So I'm like, okay, right. just putting it out there.
All right.
You know, I know you can always reach me, but you know, in my dreams, so, and just as is, that's fine. But this is such a concentrated time, and we're pretty consistent with it, that I would put it out there.
Yeah, and they know. It's like there's a standing, it's like operators are standing by.
Yeah. So there are big things to that I know I want to work on for myself, and then as I do that, knowing that in some way it can help the rest of my family, then that's what I'm putting out there.
You know what's really lovely about that energetically is that you are now defining the role. So you had like these I think you had dreams before that you were talking about your fraternity and things like that, and mm-hmm. or right, I think that was the last show, and it's like the pattern has been broken that, yeah, I could do this, that, and the other, but do I want to do it? It's like by
right.
the time you, it's all committed to, and I've been guilty of that myself too. Sure, you're capable. That's not the point. It's more the discernment and the worthiness to decide. And what you just said really is that you're claiming what your role is. You are redefining your role.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're more mm-hmm. like an ambassador for clearing these patterns, and it's not that you're a conduit, doesn't mean you're responsible, doesn't mean that you're changing the world and this in a very linear, tangible kind of way. It's very esoteric and very different because there's a lightness to it where you're just going to reconfigure the energy, and the burden of being seen as other, being dismissed, being not quite really seen for who you are, that, or because it's not being quite understood, for lack of a frame mm-hmm. of reference, lack of cultural culture and environment. You were raised here, completely different, and that you could be like that swan, that graceful, self-contained swan, and that quiet wisdom. And I loved the gratitude part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's very transformative. Mm-hmm. Where there could be some peace, and maybe that's going to, or that is actually in the process of neutralizing and upgrading frustration, resentment, resistance, irritation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the playing field is now even. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's good. Right in time for your trip.
Yeah. And for everything else that's going to be coming up, like in this 9 year for me in a couple of weeks.
Yes, May 1st.
Just knowing,
yeah.
Knowing that's the direction
ended.
I'm headed. And,
oh, that's
and
that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And in the reading, I did get a couple of readings, since I was there. I'm like, okay, well, I'm here. You may as well.
Yeah.
I got a couple of readings, and the very first reading was the most profound in terms of, and the simplicity of the messages that the cards I pulled, and these weren't just like tarot cards necessarily. There were actually messages on the cards, written on the back of the cards. And it was exactly what I needed to hear. And one of the big messages was just to like unburden yourself. So it's interesting you use that word, this unburden, because there's been this history of me taking on responsibilities that I felt like I needed to. And now this is a change for that, in that I just don't need to continue in that same vein. That so all the things we've talked about with the family, the fraternity, those are all groups that I belong to and I love them, and am ready to change that role because I'm not that person anymore to take it on. And that's on me to say no, or
right.
to figure, okay, I'm just going to do this. and the rest of it you can figure out what you want to. You can make some of those hard decisions, and you
right.
can think
it doesn't
it
have
through.
To all be on you, right?
Right, or you can feel it through, however you want to put it. And as these years have gone by, and I've made certain decisions, it's been necessary for me, but also and also very good for me, like to understand, you know, when is it time for rest, like to get true rest, and what does that really mean? And I think I'm still working on that in terms of just resting, because a lot of times I'm still, my mind is very busy, but it's definitely lifted over the last few years.
Yeah.
So it's clearing. So a lot of clearing in every sense of the word has been going on. And as everything has been clearing, I'm realizing, okay, so, you know, what is calling to me? What is really not what is feeling like a big obligation to me, but what is really calling to me? And so looking at how I'm tied in with my family or my fraternity or people that I would consider my family, that hasn't really changed. Like it's not like, oh, I'm just going to be by myself, because that is not, I don't think that is how I'm going to function the best. I think there are times when I need to step away. But knowing that these are my people, and there's a lot of people,
uh-huh.
that it's been great to take on some different roles, and realizing now this isn't about, oh, the dutiful daughter. It isn't in those types of roles. I feel like with the spiritual journey that I'm on, that role has to elevate to a different place, and not to be like, oh, I'm going to be the shaman of the family, or I'm going to be the healer of the family. It's not even that.
No, not at all. No, no.
But there's a role that I play.
Absolutely.
That allows for that kind of magic to work through. And I don't need to put a title on it, and I don't need to have a business card for it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do whatever I need to do. And then, so as things shift, because it's, you know, very much behind the scenes for me, and I'm totally fine with that.
All day.
And just to clue you in, I have Anna on the line. That's Anna's job, to be like, let me put her on there. that could be Anna can have the business cards and the t-shirts and all that. I'm totally fine working behind the scenes, and just kind of bearing witness to things. And mm-hmm. you know, if that means like on a different level, I'm recording everything that's happening, you know, as a record keeper or whatever, then that's fine.
Right.
And, you know, I do think this dynamic with the estranged brother, whether it plays out in this lifetime or not, I think that's something that's on the horizon in terms of fleshing out a little bit more. And there's a part of me that wants to bring comfort to my parents and to my other brother with that dynamic. And as a result, because, you know, we're the ones that are directly affected, and that's the entanglement. But also the extended family, they have some idea, but they just, you know, they just love him. You know, they love all of us, and they just want everyone to, like, how come we don't ever see him? So,
aww.
You know, that's something where maybe parts of it can be healed, because I figure if my relationship with my other brother, the one with
Hello.
Alvin,
Hello.
Where that was, you know, had periods of contentiousness from the very beginning, you know, from when I was even a little kid, if that can be healed, and can take on a different way,
anything is possible. All day.
So that's how I feel about it. And so whatever the journey is with my other brother that we've had for lifetimes, then, you know, in this lifetime, I'll address it in the most loving way I can. Knowing that, you know, we have our histories. And for me, in terms of, like, if I look at the history between me and both of my brothers, the one with my oldest brother has actually not been that bad.
You know? Right.
It's actually, you know, he's tended to be for the most part, a pretty good big brother, looking out for me, and kind of, even when I didn't realize he was speaking up for me on my behalf when I was a lot younger, I didn't know those things, you know, until my mother shared a story. You know, she's like, oh, yeah, your brother was always saying I shouldn't push you so hard, or he was just trying to make sure that I was, you know, being taken care of. So those are things that, even though he and I have never talked about that, I know he's done that for me. So
there's comfort in
like,
that.
Okay, well, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's definitely there's goodness. There's a lot of goodness in him that he may acknowledge or want to play out for whatever, you know, whatever reason. It takes away from his badass persona, but you know, there's a lot of goodness in him, and just like it took me a while to even recognize or to acknowledge the amount of goodness that is in my other brother too, because I'm like, you know, we're like sworn enemies, in a sense. But that has changed, where it's there's a respect between us.
Yes.
And like, I know what he's capable of, and I know what he's capable of, just like he knows what I'm capable of, and he knows what I'm capable of. So there's all these different perspectives of that. But I think we've come to a time where, you know, we're having to step up. We've needed to step up, but we're having to step up now, because I look at where my parents are, and you know, they're still living their life. They're still having a great time. They're making these big plans, and but at some point, you know, they're not going to be around in the physical. Man. So, you know, we've got to get our stuff together.
It's sacred, and the fact that you've shifted to such a light place, the fact that the way you're holding your brothers, and when you were talking that beautiful, pure regard, and when you were talking about your eldest brother, the one who's been estranged, it's very interesting, because it's for the first time that he's serving like an archetypal role as well. Which is that unconditional love, and it's like really like a fish out of water. So he just had to be just always on the fringe, always on doing his own thing, whether it's a family, any sort of unit, just
right,
would be very confining. And the more, and you're really on the right, really beautiful path with this, Elisa, because the more that you focus on the inherent goodness, that's the best way that you can support him remotely. And I just love, like, yeah, your energy has really been shifting. This has been like years in the works, and it makes perfect sense that as you are shifting from an 8 to a 9 personal year, that you've really cleared a path for yourself.
Yeah.
So, that's great.
Whew. Yeah. I mean, I was feeling it last night, and I'm like, if I could stay awake, because I fell asleep listening to one of the last ones, I can't stay awake any longer. I've got to get some sleep. And so I'm like, let me let it go. But there was a lot to take in. It was very enlightening. And just so people, I don't know if they can check it out. It's called the Ancestral Healing Summit. Connect with your ancestors to heal your lineages and transform your life.
Yeah.
And I think I started getting it through the Shift Network, which I get emails on, and I don't always pay attention because I get emails every day.
From all these different places. Ancestral, what is it?
The Ancestral Healing Summit.
Okay, I'm Googling it. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So
here it is. The Shift Network. Okay. Yes.
There you go. Yeah. So there's a lot happening.
Send that to myself. Thank you for that.
Yeah, they've got a lot of different people. I think the first speaker from yesterday was Greg Braden,
Uh-huh.
Who As much as I've heard his name, I don't think I've ever really listened to him speak. So I got to hear him speak, and I really liked how he set the tone for everything. And of course, he doesn't know the way they do these summits. They just sort of do they record it as they can, and mm-hmm. then they all they combine it, put it together, they try to put it in an order that makes sense.
Right.
But it was a very good introduction, and he has because he is a scientist.
Right.
He has that perspective, and then as we got into other things, other speakers, they were more on the, not even on the fringe, really, because a lot of them do shaman work. There's also a study of family constellations, which I met a West African drummer. He's a white guy, but he did these drum circles. And was part of a West African drumming group locally, but his name's Chuck, and he also started getting into family constellations. So this is 10 years ago, plus. And when he got into it, he was so excited, and he started. In addition to, if you want his email list for any drum sessions, he would include what he was doing, because he was also a light worker, and still is. But I never got into that. Like it was, I wanted to be supportive of him. So I would start reading some of the emails, but it just didn't call to me at the time. And now all of a sudden in this one workshop, day one, it's mentioned numerous times. Oh, family constellation work. I'm like, what? Okay. So, that's something I'm not well versed in yet. What's comforting is knowing that there is someone local that I already know who does this kind of work. If I really wanted to get into that, I could.
Right.
So
interesting
stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
It's very pivotal.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Yeah. It's almost like, the last few weeks of my 8-year, let me just try to fit in as much as I can.
Why not? Why not? Unbelievable. That's great though. And it's so clear. It's so clear to you. Like, there's no doubt. It's so clear, like, that this is it's probably the way that you need to trust it, that it's so clear and it's so linear. You know what I mean? It's probably what... Yeah, it's perfect.
Although the movie that comes to mind is Memento, so it's not really linear in that sense. But,
oh, that's
you know,
true.
That movie,
that
Memento,
movie,
where...
That movie worth my nerves.
Where you're like, What is going on? And
you get
these random Polaroids, and then you're like, oh.
You know what? They should have given me a check. I'm sorry. they should have paid me for my time.
I found it fascinating.
Oh, of course you did.
So maybe for you we would do like. Instead of Memento, it would be
The Real Housewives of the Hangover.
It was the same concept in a way.
I actually like the Hangover movies; they're funny.
they are. Maybe it's the same thing. Is that there are these? You have these snapshots that you're like, well, what happened here? Like, what was going on here?
And so
in a way, for me to have my own perspective of what, given any point of time, and realizing, like, even stuff with my brothers, or maybe especially stuff with my brothers and my family, there's so much that I didn't see from that perspective. So, partly because I was shielded from it, and that was by design, by my parents, by my brothers, possibly also by my guides for that matter. I was shielded from knowing the extent of the situation until much, much later. And because I think at that point, for the most part, if you show up, I'll say, okay, well, that's just who you are. Okay. And now I'm appreciating the intricacies of everyone else's story and what becomes of that person. And so what they show is what they want to show for now. And that's their choice. It's like you choosing what clothes you want to wear when you step out versus what clothes you want to wear when you're hanging out in your house. Very different,
right.
But still the same person. So when I meet somebody, and it just depends on what the situation is, but for the most part, if you're not in my house, you know, I know that there's more to who you are, just like there's more to who I am than what I'm showing you, and that's reserved, you know, for another time in a different situation, or as we get to know each other, then I'll share more, and I'm assuming you'll share more. And who am I kidding? Because you and I know with the way we are, people tell us all kinds of stuff, you know, almost from the get-go. You're like, whoa, yeah, we just met. Hello, my name is. And meanwhile, they're like pouring out their hearts. So there's a lot to appreciate when things are, when they are unfolding the way they are, or in some cases you would call them unraveling, like, oh my gosh, it's unraveling at a high pace. But even that's, serves its own purpose. So
yes.
I feel like this is the beginning in terms of me understanding
yes.
all that I
yes.
had seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Like I saw it, like I dreamt it or whatever, but now to have some other context or to have another way of viewing that same situation with the help of the ancestors, with the help of my guides, like that's really interesting to me.
It's fascinating.
Well, it is, and it's also like they've been talking to me the whole time. Like, okay, and it's a way so that my brain doesn't get into the analytical part of
right.
it.
Right.
It's just like, well, okay, well, you know, it's just there. Just you know, just
that's right.
It. You don't have to dig for it. It's just
you don't have
show
to
up.
Work. You, there's no effort.
Right. Right. So that
well,
helps me a lot.
Good for you, man.
True rest.
Yeah. That's great. And when you
so
had
now,
the, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
No, so with the so when you went to a psychic fair with the readings, so I know you talked about how the being led to the ancestral summit that really loosened up a lot of things. Anything with any messages or any impressions from the psychic fair? Did that sort of, like,
oh.
support that?
Well, definitely, like, you know, the guides are just sort of pointing me along. And so part of what is coming up, because, like, you're always talking about me meeting somebody. This
always.
Is also the one of the cards had to do with me being comfortable with who I am.
Mm.
So, it was just a very nice, gentle reading that talked about that. And I said, well, I'm gay, so that makes sense. And it at the time, like, you know, when I'm saying those things, it makes sense to me. In the bigger context, you know, I even just recently I had struggled with, like, should I be coming out, like, when I'm on my tours, you know, do I need to go into all of that? Because there's a part of me that's like, well, that's not for you. Like, you just need to know me as a driver. You know, you don't need to know me.
That's a really good point. There's such a there's such a fine line, because then all of a sudden it all gets politicized, and it's
right.
There's such a fine line. You know, I don't know if this would work within the scope, but maybe offer a tour, like a rainbow tour. Hello.
Well, yeah, I mean that is always an option. I think it's been interesting when I've had tours that were, you know, usually mostly gay men, because gay men like their wine
all day.
All day, every day. There was one group in particular. It was a group of gay black men, and there was like one token girl, you know. But of course, you know, they came out like, oh, yeah, okay, they're probably, most of them probably gay. You know, it was not a question of, who are you? It was like, yeah, I know. And so they of course, aren't going to come out with, you know, rainbow badges or whatever. But as we're going on our tour, and there's a good hour, 15 minutes of travel time, you know, they're just all talking, and usually that's how it is with any group. You know, I'm like, I won't be as involved in the conversation as you need me to be, but otherwise I'm just driving, and I'm just making sure you're having a good day. So they're trying to edit their conversation, you know, and I'm just kind of chuckling to myself. And I don't know if it was this group or it was another group. This time it was like a bunch of white guys who are all like fathers. They all have their kids, but they're all, you know, they're all gay. And so the conversations, again, kind of like, well, how much can we talk about with the driver? Is the driver going to... So they're all worried about me judging them, and I'm laughing. I'm like, well, why would I judge you on that? So at some point, I'm sure, I think we're both, for both of those stories, it's like, no, I'm family too. It's okay. And it was completely different. From that on, it's like, oh, you know, like the exhalation of breath. And it's like, oh, thank goodness. You know, we can just be ourselves. And you know, I said, yeah, this can be your safe space. This van can be your safe space. Now, don't go have sex in the bathrooms or anything like that. No one should be doing that. It doesn't matter. But, at these wineries, because the wineries, you never know. But for the most part, it's a public place. So people are pretty cool about whatever. But, you know, it's just this awareness of where are you? And, like, you're not in Midtown Atlanta. You're out in the country. You're out in the sticks with this, you know, Asian driver. So already, you know, I can't protect you for much. I have some chopsticks. I'm just kidding. I don't have chopsticks. But, when we have an understanding of who we are, and when you can make that connection with other people, then it's like, okay, now, yeah, we don't have to play that game anymore. You don't have to change your pronouns. And I think I'd like to get to that place. The thing is, you know, when I'm at work, it's a different mindset for me. So although I tend to get included in all kinds of conversations, it's not really my conversation. It's not really my group. It's just work. So there's a part of me that I'll figure out a way. You know, I'll work it out. And in some cases, besides the people who are obviously gay, in some cases there have been times when I've said, oh yeah, I'm gay, and they're like, oh, okay, and it wasn't. I mean, I wasn't like, ooh, now they're gonna treat me differently. I'm like, I don't care. It's work.
Doesn't matter. Right.
Yeah, it's work. So unless you're gonna like set me up with somebody, and in which case we have a lot of questions to ask here, then it's fine, you know. But unless and then the conversation gets really weird and you start grilling me with some different questions, I'm like, that's not what I want to do either. I'm not gonna be like your educator on all these things. Like,
oh my God,
is not what I want to be doing.
Your tour guide, your literal tour guide,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Hello.
So I'll pass on that. So it has been a very good year, a good time for me to have these events unfold, to have certain things just trigger, oh, you know, I really want to get into this. And knowing that, like, you know, Anne and I have been born into this amazing family. So,
mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, there's this lineage that... You know, we can only go back so far to understand, and even in saying that, the message I get is that you don't have to really go that far at all to appreciate what it is, because it's kind of been consistent, definitely on my dad's side of the family. It's been consistent with this very loving energy, loving and supportive, and even when people get a little crazy, you know, you still see the goodness in them. You still see, you know, their love and then their potential. Now the potential part is where, you know, in terms of judgment, you may be like, oh, they could have done so much more. And then in others, sometimes you didn't even realize that they had done so much. And it's only when they come here to the States and it's a different playing field that, you know, they've had to morph into something else, but the potential is still there. And what they've accomplished elsewhere hasn't been taken away from them.
Right.
It's just now, you don't, they're not going to, like, you know, talk about that all the time because it was, you know, 20 years ago or 40 years ago in a different country, in a land far, far away. So there's a lot of, like, it's being like eye-opening, but not a rude awakening. It's very eye-opening.
No, it's good. It's illuminating.
Allowing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're so used to the rude awakenings that we think, oh, here we go again. Oh, oh, hi, stranger. Oh, let's...
Well, you know,
yeah.
I would say for me, I haven't had too many rude awakenings, but there's so much doubt because I've sort of been conditioned because everybody else around me tends to be, oh, I had to be this way. And you know, when I look at the stuff that I've had to go through, perhaps the toughest part was like the physical stuff, like getting hit by a car type stuff.
Yeah.
The physical accidents that would put me on a different trajectory. Those were pretty difficult, but for the most part, they happened when I was a lot younger, up until, you know, fairly recently with the car accidents. But even those, really, even I want to say pretty much with every physical accident, like my people were protecting me. Like I look
protected
at some of the situations like
oh yeah,
no, I was really being taken care of. And so thank you. I'm like, thanks, you know, because it could have been so much worse.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think you've definitely interrupted that pattern, too, with the minimizing, dare I say, potentially eliminating outside of very minor, with the law of averages, it's like stubbing the toe. I'm not talking about that level, which is normal, but anything that... was kind of like the past. I think you're done with that. I feel like I'm done with falling in the middle of the street like a lunatic. That was used to happen to me all the time. The last time was in January, so I'm on a roll. The time before that was July. I really feel so much more grounded than I was before, and so much less traumatized. That I don't need to disassociate, and that's what would happen if to just feel sort of cut off your mind and your body and your surroundings, because there's a disconnect, or you just want to step out of frame for a second. Well, if the head doesn't know where the body is and the body doesn't know where the head is, you got to fall.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's what would happen. I would just really disassociate, and that's, you know, that's a sign of trauma. So I'm very relieved to say, again, it could be the law of averages. If somebody, you know, somebody put something in my path, I'm going to trip over it. But it's not that there's a brain circuitry going on. So, and that was happening. Like, there was just the wiring wasn't all there. It was just too much. It was just too much to bear. There's too much going on. So that's a relief.
And for me, the driving, because we drive a lot, and I found pretty recently that I'm not only say the word anxious, but I think in retrospect it's like I gotta go, we gotta get going. I feel a lot calmer behind the wheel, and so there's a lot of, I'm allowing a lot of space with people.
You're protecting yourself.
And so I'm paying attention, like, you know, are my shoulders up to my ears? Am I stressed about anything?
Yeah, good.
So it's been a very gentle process for me to be behind the wheel and realizing, because I know sometimes when I'm working, I'm definitely very aware. I try to be like, okay, because I got a band full of people, and I'm also aware of the people in the very back, because that's where, you know, they feel it the most, is if you're any little bit erratic with your driving, like you'll see them like tumble around in the back, because you know you're like, I probably could have taken that corner a little more slowly.
Right.
But even now with, I've done a little bit of just driving for my own work, and I've had friends with me, and even then I've got to be aware. I'm like, okay, yeah, they're my friends. I didn't sign a waiver. They're not paying me to do this stuff, but, you know, it shouldn't matter. We should be very mindful of their, you know, you want them to have a smoother ride. So, I'm definitely paying more attention to that. And I am, I'm sort of checking myself in terms of, okay, well, this is nice. I'm not feeling like I need to fill that space.
Yep. Don't need to.
Or try to get ahead of somebody. It's like, oh, I'll
yep.
get
nope.
there when I get there.
That's right. You can take, that's all about taking your time, which is different than time management. Time management is an art form, and it's about being productive and respectful of your time and other people's time. That's built in. That's just being aware of that. That's very important. Equally important is knowing that you have enough value to take your time. It doesn't mean that it, and if you take your time and it's in a sense of self-respect and value, you'll be able to also complement that with time management. So it's not at anybody else's expense, right?
Right.
So taking your time doesn't mean you're going to make the other person late because I'm loving myself. No. if it was truly mindfulness, then the time is managed elegantly and beautifully and gracefully, and you're taking your time. So it's making intelligent, self-loving choices. Like, I'm not going to take on these random projects that really, I'm not going to get much out of it, or the money's not worth it, or the time's not worth it. I'm not going to do these favors for people. Like, all those things.
Right.
Then you're bringing yourself, you are giving yourself the gift of time and boundaries, so that you can create more time for yourself without dragging other people with being late and indulgent and dismissive of what other people need. So when you know what you need, then it all takes care of everything. So by reflection, and I think your dreams really indicated this, that it was so gentle and clear and aligned for you. Like with, you know, the swan and your mom, didn't matter that she didn't see it or not, that the joy in that household as a child, the grandmother, all of that. That just says it's like it's very gentle, it's very quiet. There's no fanfare here. It's just
right.
It's just alignment. So that's good. You really made some progress from detoxing, losing your voice to this ancestral, like all those things I think were really stepping you into this clarity. So
yes.
It's a good way to end a personal year and get ready to start a new one.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
it's been really good. So I'm very happy. Very happy.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
Yay.
Yeah.
That's nice. And this is something that you did, you know, you did the work. And the last thing before we wrap up that I want to ask you is, how has, I think maybe starting to write a little bit, I think, was part of this as well. Are you still keeping that close in terms of if there's an opportunity to write, or how are you looking at that?
Not a lot of opportunity to write, but there, especially last night, listening. The things I wrote down were usually just the things that that were being said, so it's more like note taking. But definitely,
that's writing.
I took some mental notes in terms of I do want to write about this later on.
Yes,
you know, when I carve out a little bit of sitting down time to do that, and just have that space to do it. There's been a lot of things that have inspired me. Especially with what I've listened to last night.
I'm glad you talked about it.
And some of it's just questions like, you know, I'll start. I've done this a few times in the past where I've just written out things to my my angels and guides, just like before I go to sleep. Let me just write, leaving
that.
A note on the desk.
Right. Hi, Sailor.
And I
right.
put a little crystal on there. I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna leave that.
I love
and
that.
So whether they,
they
want to get to me through my dreams, or a lot of times if it's something like a checklist of stuff that I really can't handle it in terms of really trying to take care of logistics of all of it. Like, these are just like requests. If you can offer some assistance, that'd be great. So I'll just kind of put it out there, and then I'll leave it, because now it's not in my head.
And you released it. You did something about it.
Right. Right.
Interesting.
And it's definitely worked out where, you know, like it's worked out. It's worked out where things have been answered. Timing will work out the way it needs to work out. There will be a reminder of, oh yeah, you know, you actually you can take care of that. Look at what's just showing up. So
I love that.
It's been a nice way of working with the energies and working with my guides. And
that's a good tip. That's a really good tip to share. Like that, I'm gonna share that with a few people. That I think is really great. And the last thing now that's coming to mind in terms of a question, are you planning, intending on going to the Philippines with your family coming up?
Well, yeah, and I think I told you last time my parents had planned, were looking at going to the Philippines and then doing a cruise that was leaving from Manila, which made sense. But then I think I told you that the cruise wasn't going to start for another like 2.5 weeks after the reunion was done. And then the cruise itself was going to be like 3 weeks. I'm like, I can't be hanging out for half of January. And I told them I could do one or the other. And my dad had said, well, there'll be other reunions. No big deal. Well, since then, he's been looking at a cruise right before the reunion. So we would do the cruise first.
That would make sense.
That would position us. Yeah.
Right.
So now, at first it was going to be like December 7th. Kind of leaving from Hong Kong, so I'm like, okay, okay, we can do that. And then I just he sent me another link like over the weekend. Hey, how about this? And so this one, it's basically the same cruise, but it starts maybe another week before, like the 23rd, and it covers a lot more area, obviously. But it's basically we just add on like three or more countries beforehand before you get to Hong Kong. So I'm like, it looks fantastic. I said I'll figure out how to make it work.
Make it work.
Because it just extends this time from, instead of being here through the end of November, now it's like, well, I'll be here just before Thanksgiving. I'll be leaving, and then I won't be back until probably the new year.
You know, that's not bad. A lot of people do that. No. That really isn't that. And also, too, this time is so sacred to be with your. Yeah, it's so precious. It's so sacred. The fact that they're into it and they're doing it and they're ambulatory and all, that's so sacred. You can't take any of that for granted. And I know that you don't, which is why I think you're going to make this work. But that definitely something to document and to make part of. We'll just call the working title the Ancestral Project, something where that you're using that as a filter for you to do some writing to ask yourself some questions. But I think that take a lot of pictures and use that as a tool, and that's great because it's like a target. So that's what's coming in, you know, because I do co-host this show. I kind of know a few things. But I think that's something for you to work on, and it's so unique, and it's also visual, and you love taking pictures, and it's kind of like this quest for self-discovery through ancestry or through, you know, traveling with your parents, however you want to put it. But this is, this is what I feel. This is the direction to go in. I'll leave you with that.
I feel it.
Does that feel good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think there's a part of me that's always wanted to talk to my parents. Yeah, I had this the whole vision of, I'm going to sit and interview my parents. And then, you know, when I sit and talk to my parents, these conversations go everywhere. And so I have to release that expectation of, you know.
Right.
Asking a question and getting an answer that makes sense.
What I suggest, whether it's on an app on your phone, and then we're going past time, but I love talking about this. You just have a conversation with the goal of bringing up a few things in the conversation. So it's not these linear questions, but you know what you want to bring
right.
up to see what they say, because a lot of times it's way more interesting than kind of like a clinical sparse answer. And
right.
you accumulate all of that, and then there are these transcribing apps. And what you're going to have to do, and I know this because I'm from making my documentary, so I know this, and I had to do, I've transcribed like 300 pages.
Goodness.
But it was very meditative, though. It was good, and I was going through a very painful time, so it was just great to just be that scribe. Now, isn't that funny? Because years ago, I said you were like a scribe with a feather pen. I said that years and years and years ago. Well, there you go. So that's what it is. That's what it is. So you record these conversations, and there is an – I have to see – I think it's called Dictaphone, something like that, but it's an iPad app. I'm sure you can get it on your phone. And then you upload it, and then you listen to it, and you have controls to control the speed of what you're hearing, and then you could pause and then transcribe.
Mm.
But that's what I think that's the way to go.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just looking at, you know, I think down the road I'll either upgrade my phone or I'll pay more for the cloud service to store
yep.
all the things that I have.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah, it's worth it. Then it's there.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. But that, I would say, that just start recording them. And I think the MP4, MP3 files, probably MP3 files, will be compatible with whatever app, especially if you record it on your phone.
Yeah,
then,
right.
Then it should cross over to a transcribing app. Just record.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've never used my phone to record anything, really.
Oh, it's good. That's good. I've shot footage on my phone. Like, it's amazing. Like, it's amazing what it could do. So that was fun. Little documentary
yeah.
realness. Love that. Look at you. Yay. So if you guys need to get – what an interesting conversation. If you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Media on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. This particular show is scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love you.
Take
Thank
care.
You so much.
Sure, my pleasure. Bye.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me, yeah. Tell me something good. That you